Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, we are. The Morning Shift on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Beau Morgan will be back in a couple days. Calm down, Twitter. Dylan is behind the glass. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Getting you caught up before you get into work today. The Yankees are down in the playoffs. Blue Jays won their first two games of their series. Game three is tomorrow. Tonight, we do get game twos in both NLDS series. Dodgers at Phillies, Cubs at Brewers. Georgia beat Kentucky 35-14. Hawks preseason starts tonight. They take on the Houston Rockets at 8 o'clock. And in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills lost last night to the Patriots 23-20. First loss for the Bills this season.
Yeah, we've kind of been dicing it up. And, of course, we'll have the wake-up call in just 1 second, 447-260-929. Kind of been dicing it up. Does that make you feel better or worse? Like oh, they're not bulletproof. But they might be angry. You know what I mean? You're like, I don't know what
we might not like the Bills when they're angry.
Yeah. And they do. Look, we've had a bye week to kind of prep and prepare, but they are on a long week as well because it is a Monday Night Football game next week. So it'll be interesting to kind of chop that up. I still don't know where I land on it. Josh Allen, obviously very good, but when they kept him inside the pocket last night, wasn't that great?
At what point this week, since obviously you've been through these situations, being a former player, at what point will they go and watch the film of last night's game between Buffalo and New England? Because I'm assuming they're going to watch it, right? And at what point does that happen?
Well, I would assume like Michael Penix and Kirk Cousins are watching it right now.
Okay.
Probably right now, if I had to guess. Now, I don't know what the team's schedule is this week. And like I said, there's two different things that play with the team schedule. You have a bye week, and you also have a Monday night game. So like when you have a Monday night game, you really don't start prepping until like Thursday normally on a normal week. But like, I mean, on the field, like you wouldn't practice till Thursday, but them coming off a bye week, it might be a little bit different.
From what I could see, and again, this is the media schedule. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're not in the building.
Right.
But it seemed like, from what I could tell from the media schedule that was sent out to us, they're off today and then they're back their first day back, I guess, in the building, or at least public, be able to address the media tomorrow because they're going to talk to the media. Going to talk to the media tomorrow.
I would say that Zach Robinson, TJ Yates, whoever else it is, Michael Penix, Kirk Cousins, all watching it right now.
Yeah.
Probably all the coaching staff doing the same thing. They'll start putting together kind of that game plan on how they want to attack, Buffalo's defense and offense based on what they saw. They'll probably start implementing it with the players tomorrow. And it's different now because all the players have iPads. Like, you can just straight up send stuff that, hey, check this film cut up and watch it at home on your couch or whatever else you're doing. So, I don't know. We'll do the wake-up call in just 1 second. You feel better or worse after Buffalo losing last night to the Patriots, 23-20. We're still 7 days out. It's Monday Night Football primetime game next week. And also, and Allie brought this up on the way into break, who should be favored to win the SEC? I watched Alabama play over the weekend. Alabama's going to catch a loss somewhere down the line. They're a good football team, don't get me wrong. And I'm not coming from my own team, but they're going to catch a loss. They have too many good teams. They're going to play Missouri. They're going to play Oklahoma. Obviously, they're going to play South Carolina, who can win. They're going to play Auburn, who's not awful. Like, they have too many good teams down the stretch. I'll read you guys the odds real quick, according to FanDuel, on who should win the SEC. Bama is favored to win the SEC, but behind them, Ole Miss at plus 600. Georgia also at plus 600, both those teams in second place. Texas A&M, plus 650. Big win over Mississippi State over the weekend. And then Oklahoma, minus John Mateer. We don't know when he's going to be back playing, at plus 750. And Missouri, the team that I just mentioned, at plus 1,100. the teams not in there anymore is Texas. They are not part of the top six teams favored to win the SEC. Curious to get anybody's thoughts on that. Dylan, let's go ahead and hit the wake-up call. 404-726-0929. Who should be favored to win the SEC? Do you feel better about Georgia's chances after playing Kentucky? Do you feel better about Bama after knocking off Vanderbilt? We'll get into that. And also, like I said, Buffalo. Do you feel better or worse about Buffalo heading into next week's game after them losing last night to the New England Patriots at Buffalo? All right, let's go to the phone line right now, Dylan. Let's start at the top. Let's go with our buddy Kevin. He's in the limo. Kevin, I hope school drop-off went well this morning, my friend. What's going on with you?
My man, Mike, you know what? You're a thoughtful cat. You know I drop off my daughter. Good memory, my friend. I appreciate it.
You already know, man.
I think, Kirby, one of those viral clips going to come out with him, doing that good old-fashioned Southern cussing. And I think the Georgia's going to be fine. Yeah. As far as the Falcons go, I think Josh Allen, he's a dog. I mean, he's got that dog in him. And they got a great coach. And he's going to come out with a motivating game plan. The level of concern is high. I think this is going to be a ball control game. I think if the Falcons win the time of possession and they control the ball, limit their turnovers, they win the game at home. Because they're designed against a team like this, to beat a team like this, who have the linebackers and ball control, because they have an offense that can run the football. Yeah. Throw some screen passes, don't get too greasy. I think they'll be fine.
I love it, man. Appreciate the phone call, Kevin. There's no doubt about it. And I love when the vibes are high. I love when the vibes are high on a Monday. Let's go. We still got 7 days until the Atlanta Falcons pay the Buffalo Bills. I hope the vibes are high for everybody else that's going to be watching the game. And I hope Buffalo doesn't do the whole Bills Mafia takeover. I'm good on that, man. Falcons fans, keep your tickets.
That's why we need to get the message out. You got to get there.
Get there.
Do not give any Bills fans space to tailgate and jump through a table. I better not see any table jumping going on in the Home Depot backyard.
I don't care if those things are on fire. I don't care. Wood, plastic, glass, whatever it is. Ain't nobody jumping through a table and Mercedes-Benz parking lot. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to our buddy Dan over in Decatur. Dan, good morning, my friend. What's up?
What's happening, big guy? Mike Mafia. What's happening, brother?
You know the vibe.
Matt Truck, how you doing?
Hey,
this morning,
Dan.
Ma'am?
Good to hear from
you.
Hey,
man. I can't say, not too worried, but hey, let's keep it real. Before this past game, James Cook has been over 100 yards.
I agree.
For the past about 2 to 3 games, right? Yeah. Also, Josh Allen is doing it with his legs. So I would say, hey, we got to stop that run. You got to contain Josh Allen, whether that means, hey, a spy, whether that means we got to, do our thing off the edge. Also, we got to put up points and do it early.
Yeah.
Put up points, got to do it early.
I agree.
So as long as we're putting up points, offense is doing their thing, defense, got to stop the run of James Cook. Got to contain Josh Allen. Don't let him do what he wants to do. If you let him do what he wants to do, it's over with. Yeah. Also, yes, they just lost. So please believe they're coming back with a vengeance, just like my boys lost the week before last. We won 41-7 on Sunday. So it just goes to show you, when you tick off the team, what's going to happen. Y'all have a great day, man.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you, Dan from Decatur. And he brings up a good point. We talked about Marcus Mariota did not end up being a big part of the Commanders' run attack, but we – and I don't want to say we held them in check. We didn't. They got 150 yards rushing against us. But I do think there's something to be said about the way your run defense has played more times than not. Dylan mentioned it. They're kind of mid-pack in run defense, but kind of at the top of the NFL and everything else. So be curious to see how that plays out. Dylan, let's go back to the phone lines one more time. Let's try to get Richard from Dallas in. Richard, what's going on, man? Hope you're having a good Monday.
What up? Hey, I know Bo ain't there, but it's still AMD mode. He's still in his own deck. What up, man?
Throw it in there, baby. Let's go. What up, dog?
Yeah, man. So real quick, I was telling Dylan, I'm originally a Steelers fan. I'm an Atlanta Falcons transplant.
Okay.
So you guys have brought me on and onto the train.
I love hearing that. Come on, baby. Let's go.
So I want to say, all we got is, and I don't mean to dumb it down like this, but the Patriots shut them down. So let's just turn the Patriots versus Bills on all week and have the defense say, hey, look, this is what we do to stop James Cook. This is what we do to contain Josh Allen. Because really, those are the two focal points of their offense.
Yeah, there's no doubt
and
about
so
that.
And so I really feel like if we could shut, just like my man Dan just said, we could shut them two guys down, I mean, the wide receivers need somebody to throw the ball to them.
Yeah.
We can get Josh Allen on the ground 3 or 4 times. I mean, the Falcons' defense, I know you guys have talked about top five in all of these areas. Defense has been playing lights out.
Yep.
They just got to keep that same energy, Real quick on the SEC, you heard me this morning, Mike. And you know what? It's not your fault. LSU hasn't been playing well. When you went through it and was talking about the odds to win, I was like, yeah, he's not going to say LSU.
No.
I can update.
I can update that if you want to, and I do appreciate the phone call, Richard. I can update. LSU is in 8th place right now at +2,000. So you can update that as you will. Texas actually is still favored before LSU is. Then you get back behind them, +2,500 for Tennessee, 3,300 for Florida. This is all on FanDuel. So, yeah, I'd be curious to see kind of where that story goes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he brought up a couple of good points. And let me just finish Richard's point by saying he's like, we got to stop Josh Allen, James Cook. My brother, if we can stop Josh Allen and James Cook, we can stop anybody. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I feel about it. And you heard the vibes he just put out, Dylon. He was like, hey, we're just going to talk about it all week. Play the cut. On the way in from every breakdown, we're going to play a Mike Vrabel cut. It's like, this is what we did. We stepped up to the plate, and we were able to stop him. I love that, man, because the vibes need to be high for the next 7 days, and obviously we'll be breaking it down throughout the rest of the week and on Monday to get you guys ready for that Monday night matchup in primetime against Buffalo. Don't sell your tickets, though.
No.
Don't sell your tickets, man. Keep it all in-house. Let's have a good Atlanta outing in primetime on Monday.
I am very proud of whoever just came up with the headline that just like flashed across one of the TVs in here that said May Day.
Yeah. There's been some really good ones here.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot tell you how much I love the Indiana Jones for Daniel Jones
too.
In Indianapolis. That's so good. Danny Dimes, so good. People are so clever out there, man.
I know. And you know when you hit one, you just have to be like, got it.
Yep, there
got
it is.
Nailed it.
Call the PR team, baby. Marketing 101.
Get me a raise.
Let's go.
Well, thank you so much for all the calls this morning. Make sure to join the morning shift every Friday for the Tailgate at Home presented by Publix. Bo Morgan will fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes. And you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the morning shift. That's the Tailgate at Home. Presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, so much happening around the NFL. Who finally lost their first game? Who lost their first game? We'll get into it. That's next. And we've also got a life of Dylan.
There is a certain Atlanta hip-hop star that is making waves all over social media. We'll talk about it next. Here on the morning shift, Sports Radio 99.9 The Game and
The Odyssey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. We are going to get into the dangers of going sightseeing when your team is playing abroad in a moment. But Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game is your home of live college football coverage in Atlanta. This Saturday at 8 a.m., we get the day started with college football game time. It's brought to you by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com. And by Alumni Hall, shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and more. It's where fans shop. John Furkey, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman will set the stage for all of the big matchups. Then at 11:30, we have Ohio State taking on Illinois. That's all this Saturday on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game. Let's get into the Saints-Giants game. They won 26-14. Spencer Rattler, pretty excited about his first win.
Feels good, man. Feels good to get that first win. It was a team win. Defense played great. O-line played elite today. I believe we had 0 sacks versus that front. So, you know, that's a great building point and, you know, catch that momentum.
Yeah, I would say it's a great building point. This is a team that's looked abysmal. The Giants kind of coming off a big victory last week with Jackson Dart, you know, at quarterback. They're trying to build their own momentum. And, you know, the Saints are a team that we know after having lost to Carolina 30-0 a couple of weeks ago, when you talk about these in-division rivalries, especially going on the road to New Orleans in November and having them come back to your house, you know, to end the year, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's very – I think they've been very interesting to watch in their first year under Kellen Moore. You know, we talked throughout the offseason about them drafting Tyler Shuck and, you know, all the saga with that. But Spencer Rattler seems to have settled in. Alvin Kamara playing a good brand of football. And Taysom Hill came back in this game. And so I know he was much welcome. But they're – I don't want to call them dangerous. That sounds so ridiculous to call the Saints dangerous. But in terms of through the Falcons' eyes, they absolutely are. It's a team that we lose to at least once every season for no reason. And it's frustrating to watch. So I'm watching this game. I'm watching Spencer Rattler and the stats he's able to put up. And I'm like, dude, I got that sick feeling in my stomach. I just do.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where no matter how bad the Saints or the Falcons are that year, it doesn't matter how much either team might be struggling or how much either team might be good in any respective year in any given year, it's always going to be a game. It just usually always seems to be a game. And this year could be no different. So when that time does come for the Falcons and Saints to play, the Falcons, I'm not saying they take any opponent lightly, but they definitely cannot take the Saints lightly, whether they're here in Mercedes-Benz or we're there in the Caesars Superdome. So this is a team that, once you get that first one, maybe they can start to come in, you know, start to come in bunches. Hopefully not, because, you know, we don't like the Aints around here, but you never know. Just once you get that first one and some things start to click, that sometimes that can be all it takes for a team to get just a little momentum going.
Yeah, watching this game too, there's a couple fumbles, a couple plays that obviously New York would like to have back. I can't help but wonder where Brian Daboll is. They play hard, and Jackson Dart, obviously, in only his second start, you're going to have some hiccups. Cam Scataboo and Jackson Dart are kind of the heartbeat of that team right now, which is crazy because they're both rookies. I'll be curious to see how that all kind of pans out. But New Orleans obviously getting on the board with that one. That's a big deal for them.
And the Falcons will play New Orleans at November 23rd. So, you know, the problem with playing abroad, especially when it's 2 weeks in a row, you go from Ireland to London, your time's just all off. And there's so much.
It shouldn't be. You're on day 14 over there.
Well, you have so many people telling you where to be and what to do.
Sure,
but
okay.
So, apparently, Jordan Addison went sightseeing, kind of lost track of time, and missed the walkthrough. Let's hear from head coach Kevin O'Connell talking about it.
He missed the walkthrough this week, and, you know, those types of things aren't in alignment with our standards, and you know, wanted to make sure he was held accountable for that. But at the same time, he knows that. I thought he handled it professionally. He spoke with the team to let them know that whenever I gave him the opportunity to go in the game, they could count on him, and he makes the game-winning catch.
It's just so random. And he's, I mean, you remember, guys, we did not see him because he was suspended the first three games of the year. So to get suspended for a first quarter over in Europe is intriguing, to say the least. Everybody answering it in the right way. Justin Jefferson's like, I got to do a better job taking him under my wing. There's so many different storylines coming out about Jordan Addison, but obviously a big deal for them not to go 0-2 in Europe.
I do have a question about this, because being a former player, how plausible is this, though, that you just find yourself off from the pack and you have no idea?
Plausible at all times to miss a walkthrough, because your schedule's different than normal. Like, it's all over the place. Was he exploring? I don't know. You know, that's a little bit different. I'm not gonna sit out there and, you know, throw out things, but that's a little bit crazy. I don't know what time it was, but I'd say he's probably asleep. Like, that's my biggest thing. Usually when this happens, like, I was just sleeping, but I don't know about that. But I think, honestly, to me, the biggest story coming out of this game is Carson Wentz, like, their quarterback. Like, you win with Carson
Wentz. It's a question.
And I, like, as bad as J.J. McCarthy looked early in the season, specifically against the Atlanta Falcons, I can't imagine Vikings fans having to stomach the thought of going back to J.J. McCarthy. I just can't. Like, I can't fathom it. I know that Carson Wentz has had his own ups and downs in his NFL career, but they're going into a bye week off 2 weeks in Europe. If you're coming off this bye week with J.J. McCarthy as your quarterback, I have to think the leash is extremely short of him staying the quarterback for long term.
I want to ask you a question around that, because say they go back to J.J. McCarthy after the bye week. I mean, How tough is it to pull him out again, though?
Bro,
because I mean, this is the year he's supposed to
– whole future.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, you might be cooking his whole future. But it's just so, like –
tough
it's been,
decision.
But it's been so bad. It's been so bad that I can't imagine. Like, and Carson Wentz, he's not lighting the world on fire. But, man, at least he knows how to distribute the ball and he knows how to throw into blitz pickups and everything else, man. It's just been so bad.
Real quick, I just came up with a crazy conspiracy theory. Or not even a conspiracy theory, just a theory. What if they – J.J. McCarthy doesn't end up working out. They go with Carson Wentz for the rest of the year, and then they sign Mac Jones.
Dude, it's going to happen. But Mac Jones isn't a two-year deal in San Fran. But I actually put that tweet out yesterday. I was like, who's going to start more games the rest of the year, Carson Wentz or Mac Jones? Mm. Because I think both of them are in a good situation for themselves, but Brock Purdy's got a massive contract.
What, so if you're Kevin O'Connell, I think you'd rather have Mac Jones, right, than Carson Wentz, or would you rather have Carson Wentz? Right now, obviously things can change, rearrange.
I don't know.
Depending on how they play, but to me, I think I'd rather have Mac Jones.
I would probably rather have Mac Jones. I don't know. We'll see. We've heard Carson Wentz locker room stories that aren't great, so we'll see. I don't know.
Yep, had me some good Baron Burtons over the weekend. Put a little everyday hot sauce on my turkey burgers, and it was quite divine.
Is Bo a turkey burger guy? I can't remember.
Nah. I think he likes them, but I don't know if he necessarily seeks them out.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah,
a little seasoning salt, a little W sauce on those. Okay.
All of that. Real quick, I want to get to two quick stories. One kind of a pop culture story, the other one kind of a lifestyle story. That's the deal with me. One, the one that I teased going into last break, there is a Atlanta artist, actually two Atlanta artists that are kind of making waves around social media because of their love. So the rapper Lotto. Rapper 21 Savage. Either one of y'all know who I'm talking about right now?
Lotto, 21 Savage. Savage is, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Lotto is...
I'm Googling Lotto.
Lotto was actually... She got on the scene because she was on Jermaine Dupri's The Rap Game.
Okay.
And she won the first season of that show. And then, nice. And then she kind of branched out and became this... You know, she's a really big artist now. So, there were... We all kind of... It was one of those things where we all knew they were dating, but they never officially came out. They've officially come out and confirmed their relationship. Okay. And now, Lotto was at the Force Fest out in Japan. And there's been some things made about her outfit and what she was wearing, and they think they have spotted a baby bump on Lotto. So there could be an Atlanta artist baby coming
hope
very soon.
For everybody involved, that there actually is a baby bump. Because
yeah.
If you start throwing around accusations like that, and there's not, we got issues.
And that was my thing. Can we stop doing that? That's the whole reason I'm bringing this up. Can we stop trying to point out, oh, baby bump? Like,
bro,
it's
not good.
If they are pregnant, like, just let them come out and announce it. Because if you're wrong, it's just so bad.
That's the tip of the iceberg for me on news stories like that. I don't even want to go there. But, yeah, I mean, good for them. Lotto with an A, not two O's. So I just learned that.
Yes.
But, yeah, I know 21 Savages for sure.
Yes. Lotto, a.k.a. Big Mama.
There you go.
So there you go.
Okay.
All right. The other story I want to get to real quick. Our microwave hasn't been working in my apartment. Mason's come by, tried to fix it. I think they had to get another part. I had to leave before he'd give me like the rundown on what was going on with it or whatever. I did not realize how much I used a microwave until I did not have a microwave anymore. Yeah. So I want to ask y'all real quick, what's the one thing y'all were like, man, I didn't realize how much I needed this until it was gone?
I will tell you this much, it hasn't been gone yet, but I have a Ninja like air fryer thing that folds and folds out. But it also is like an oven toaster. I use that for everything, bro.
Yeah,
like straight up everything I cook. Air fryer, you know, it preheats as an oven in like 30 seconds. You know what I mean? So everything I do, I don't know though. As far as something I lost that I was like, I can't believe I could do without that.
We have that same one, and it would be crippling if that thing
Dude,
went out. But
I
have lived without a microwave. It teaches you to be better about your food, though. Like,
it
when
does.
You reheat pizza, it goes in the oven. It's so much better.
You also
it is. Wings, too.
Cooking, though.
If you reheat wings, so much better in the oven.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
But the thing, it's just so bad because it's like, I'm hungry now. Like, I don't want to wait.
Yeah, bro.
I don't want to wait that long for the oven. It's better, but I don't care. I'm hungry.
I do have one thing, man. When I was growing up, I told this to my wife today. I said, this is so foreign to me now. So we were big tea drinkers growing up, you know, unsweet or sweet. But we did the Lipton bags on the pot, you know, boiling the tea.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't done that since I was a child. And now I'm like, do people still do that?
Simone literally drinks tea all day, every day.
Does she boil it herself?
Yes.
She buy it?
She boils the water. Yeah, she does.
Okay, that makes
sense. She buys the ones where, like, the already in the pre-made bags, you just dip them in there after you boil the water.
Yeah.
She also buys loose tea, and she has her own tea bags. Like, she's a hardcore tea drinker.
Yeah, it makes me feel a lot better because I don't drink that much tea anymore. And I was like, I wonder if people are still out there boiling their tea bags. But that was a staple of my childhood. But it was like, man, I'm thirsty.
Plenty of tea drinkers.
I need
out there,
to plan this out an hour in advance. Like, I'm thirsty. I need to start the boiling water now, and then I need to let it cool down. And I get like, bro, it was a process to be able to quench your thirst with tea back in my childhood.
The trick is you don't fully let it completely come to a boil. You don't let the teapot start whistling. Once you get there, then it takes you on to cool off. You got to get it pre-whistled.
Bro, I'm so weak right now.
I feel like we're going to get yelled at for saying we're boiling our tea bags. You're steeping the tea.
Is that what? Nobody's yelling other than you.
I was about to say, never knew steeping was a term.
Heard that was a word.
Coming up, Mr. College Football writer and reporter Tony Barnhart will join us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's 8:42 a.m. Thank you so much for having us along in the ride on the way into work or wherever you are listening, be that on the radio or the Odyssey app. Having a lot of fun here this Monday morning. It was a Falcons bye week, so we're not breaking down the Falcons game today, but we have talked a lot about college football throughout the show, and we're going to go back to the phone lines right now, and that's where we're going to bring in longtime college football writer and reporter, Mr. Tony Barnhart. And Tony, thanks for joining us, and I want to start off by having you make a decision. How about this one? Which coach do you think had a worse Saturday? Would it be Steve Sarkisian or would it be James Franklin? Both pretty rough weekends.
James Franklin's simply because he played a team. He was something like a 21-point favorite, and against a bad UCLA team. And somehow they found a way to lose. Who had just fired its coach? That's a pretty bad loss, and it's a good situation where James Franklin continues. And I like Coach. I met him when he was at Vanderbilt, but somehow in the big games, his team's really come up short, and that's the fans aren't very patient with that. Particularly this was considered to be the most complete team that James Franklin has fielded since he got to Penn State. So Steve Sarkisian didn't have a great day, but it wasn't as bad as Penn State.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. Tony, when it comes to the college football playoffs, we've been talking about how we're just a bit unsure how it could shape up. How many SEC teams do you think will make it to the playoffs?
Well, I did a speech the other night, and I had it at 5.
Wow.
And that's not going to make our friends in the Big Ten very happy. And maybe maybe Indiana slips in there, and they get 4, and the SEC gets 4. But I just this is – and I've said this, guys, in a number of places, is that this is the deepest I've seen the SEC with really good teams. And I don't think great teams. I don't think there's a great team in the league. We'll see. But it is so deep in really good teams that could beat you. And I just think that 5 is going to be they deserve 5. Whether or not they get 5 and the Big Ten gets 3, well, that remains to be seen. So,
yeah, I've heard, and you'll appreciate this, I've heard 2007 being thrown around a little bit in terms of just the parity throughout college football. I think it's just a sign of the times. But, I was in attendance for Alabama against Vanderbilt this past weekend. Obviously, Diego Pavia, a lot of noise going into that game. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on Kalen DeBoer, because This is a guy who, you go back and look, Tony, like his record against top 25, top 10 teams is insanely good. But
that's
then
right.
the teams that he should just whoop, he can't seem to get it done. And Bama fans are like really excited about him right now, but I know it only takes 1 week and things kind of turn around on its head.
Well, you just said it. It only takes 1 week, good or bad. And you just have to keep playing one. It's a cliche, but it also happens to be true. Worry about this week, figure out this week, and then get to next week. So I think Kalen DeBoer's a really good coach. you can say, well, who'd he beat? But again, you play the competition that's in front of you. I haven't seen anybody else with a record like that who coaches at a lower level. So I think Alabama's going to be fine. And the way they played against Georgia and the way they play, listen, Vanderbilt's a good team.
They are.
And Alabama, when the game was there to be taken, take control of it, they did. So good, good for them. And there's going to be a lot more games like this as we go down the stretch.
We are joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. You mentioned that five SEC teams could make it to the playoffs. And look, we know Georgia has flaws. You just talked about that Bama game. It still hurts. But every team has flaws. Do you think this version of Georgia can take it to the national championship?
I predicted Georgia to be in the national championship game this summer. I'm not backing off of that. I like the way that they're playing right now. The defense played really well against Kentucky, but Kentucky's an awful team on offense. So you do have to factor that in. But, you look at the schedule, and Georgia can beat every team on their schedule. And, Frank, quite honestly, there's a lot of teams in there that can beat Georgia. So that's what's going to be fun. Now, remember the Georgia-Alabama night when all those scores kept coming in, 5-point game here, 6-point game there, had five games with 7 points or fewer. That's what the SEC is becoming. It's becoming more and more like the NFL, where every game comes down to about one possession.
Yeah, Tony, I got a couple more questions about the SEC to throw at you. Let's start, and we just talked about the other side of this equation with Steve Sarkisian and Arch Manning a minute ago. How about Billy Napier? Is Billy Napier safe from being fired after this past weekend? I think a lot of Florida fans are kind of on the fence about it, but, man, they looked like they could beat anybody this past week.
They did. They did. And that defense is really, really good. And so you got something to build on, something to build positive. Now, you sit there and look at Florida's schedule right now. That was a great win against Texas at home at Texas A&M. Matter of fact, I'm going to be at that game on Saturday. Texas A&M is playing really well right now. So let's see how the Gators play on the road at a hot Texas A&M team. And then after that, they've got Mississippi State and open date. If they could win two of those games, they'd be doing great.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Another couple teams I want to get your thoughts on. Texas A&M being one of those. I mean, this is a team that – and we've tried to break it down, Tony, throughout the show today. And we've talked about kind of the odds coming from FanDuel about who can win the SEC. And Texas A&M is just one of those teams. I don't know if it's out of sight, out of mind, but we just don't think of them much here in Atlanta. But, man, mm-hmm. they continue to look really, really impressive.
Well, the defense is just incredible. Mike Elko is a very good – one of the best defensive coaches to come down the pike. And so I think they are a dark horse team. But if you sit here and look at Texas A&M with the games they've got coming up, I mean, man, sitting here looking at the Texas A&M schedule, got Florida at Arkansas. That's a win. At LSU, that'll be interesting on the road. Missouri, South Carolina, Samford at Texas at the end of the year. So Texas A&M is – everybody in the league has got a tough schedule, but Texas A&M's looks manageable.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. One more thing, Tony, before we let you go. Obviously, Bobby Petrino is a name that is talked about a lot here in the city of Atlanta, but for all the wrong reasons. I get the vibe that he is probably going to get that job at Arkansas long term. What are your thoughts on him kind of being in charge of that program up there?
Well, if you've watched what he's done last year and this year, the numbers he puts up with Taylen Green as his quarterback, Bobby Petrino has shown that he is as good as anybody with using a mobile quarterback. And I think does he have a lot of hit baggage? Yeah, he does. But you know what? Head football coaches are not that easy to come by. When he took the offensive coordinator's job, when Sam Pittman hired him, I was told at that time, well, yeah, but he's not going to ever be the head coach again. I don't think you can say that now. If they if they play well down the stretch, and again, this is their first game. They're coming off an open date, and they're at Tennessee on Saturday. And keep an eye on that. See how they play. They don't have to win, but see how they play. Do they put up a bunch of points? But Tennessee, Texas A&M, Auburn, Mississippi State, at LSU, at Texas. And, oh, by the way, don't take your eyes off Missouri. Missouri is a lot better than people think they are.
Yeah, completely agree with that. Missouri's playing Alabama this weekend. We'll have our eyes kind of posted on that one. That's longtime college football writer, Mr. Tony Barnhart. Good friend of the show. Thanks so much, Tony, for hanging out with us.
All right, you bet.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate the time, Tony. I am curious. You just got back from Alabama. You went to the Bama-Vanderbilt game. Are you feeling fully rested? Because last week you also went to Lil Wayne and had zero chance to get a nap or do anything.
The Lil Wayne concert last Monday night, I think I got home at, 11:30? That threw off my entire week.
Yeah.
Literally my wife and I were on our way to Tuscaloosa Friday, and we were like, we never recovered from that.
Kevin didn't get a chance to mention it, but he told me while I was screening him, and I forgot until you brought this up, he actually drove Lil Wayne and his entourage out pottering. He did. He did. He told me. He told me when I was screening his call.
Is he allowed to say that?
Yeah, the NDA.
I mean, he told me, and I think he was planning on staying there. I don't know.
That guy was back there smoking weed.
Right. He didn't go into details. He just said he drove Lil Wayne and his entourage around and took him out partying.
That's pretty cool. He probably is not allowed to say it, and now Dylan just blasted it.
He's like, sorry, Kevin. Lil Wayne probably ain't listening right now.
No,
it's all good.
I think Kevin the limo driver is safe. No, yeah. Man, but that's it's funny, and it's always funny getting Tony's takes because Tony's so matter-of-fact, and he's seen so much college football that it's like, hey, Tony, can this team win? Yes, they can, and quit saying that they can't. Or, Tony, is this team bad? They're not that bad.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens this weekend, and it's always curious to get his takes on some of the college football because it is – 2007, LSU won a national title with two overtime losses. We played them that year. We almost took them to overtime. But that is known as like the most parody in college football history in terms of winning a national title. There was like an Oklahoma State loss along the way that got in there. Like a bunch of teams started falling off at the end of the year. So it's kind of crazy. I've started to hear people kind of throw that 2007 year around in terms of this year. So much parody. Seems like any team can lose on any given weekend. I said it a minute ago, Bama's going to take another loss this year. They're just not built to not take another loss.
And when you talk about parity in college football, I wouldn't even limit that to just the SEC. I feel like that's all of college
Penn State's a prime example.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
State just lost to a UCLA team that looked like it might be number 133 out of 133 D1 teams.
I mean, it was in our headlines today. Three top 15 teams went down in one weekend. I mean, if that would have happened, let's say what? 3-5 years ago, I mean, today we'll be on fire. I mean, yeah. We'll be on fire today. But now it's still like, oh, wow, okay, this happened. But it's not as shocking as it used to be because of the parity in college football.
And
now.
It goes back to it doesn't feel like there's any rest days in college football in the SEC right now. Like, it doesn't feel like there's any rest days in the SEC. It used to be, hey, Bama's playing Vanderbilt. Like, that's going to be okay. You'll get that win and you'll just roll on. Or, hey, this team's playing Mississippi State. That, you know, Mississippi State's not great. You'll just – no, like every single one of these teams can beat you any given weekend. Kentucky, obviously, and Tony just talked about, they're not great right now, but they didn't look lifeless against Georgia. And it's everything has kind of come and being compacted down into the middle. I know that Big Ten teams say the SEC is kind of eating itself up right now. But, dude, there ain't no other way to put what happened to Penn State than that conference.
It seems
crazy to say UCLA the Big Ten, but. Yeah.
I wanted to ask about that because I am curious. Dylan made it known that our fearless leader, Mike Conte, is at that game. Do we know how he's doing?
Allie, I'm so glad you brought that up. I don't know if he's coming back in the office today, obviously, because he had a lot of big travel weekend.
Yeah.
But if I do see him today, I'm just going to give him a hug.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say any words to him. Just
united
give him a hug.
With the L against LAFC.
Yeah. And then and he has Penn to watch
State,
that debacle.
Bro.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry about that, Mike.
Sorry.
That stinks.
We're here for you, fearless leader. We'll hold it down for you. It's okay. Just take a day.
Well, quick reminder, Friday morning, you can join the morning shift for a special broadcast at Publix at Buckhead Landing in Atlanta. Come down, join us while you pick up your tailgating supplies for this weekend's football action. It's all brought to you by Publix. Feed your fandom, feel the hype this year with Publix. That's Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. at Publix at Buckhead Landing in Atlanta on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We got to roll. Got to clock out. Thanks to Tony Barnhart for joining us. For Mike, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack, thanks for being here. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to...
Don't sell your tickets to Bills fans, Atlanta.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.